is Allison Carter with the Milestones Podcast. This is episode 19, and today we'll be talking about early intervention with kids who have Down syndrome, as well as things to consider as they get older and start going to school. Most of you listening to the show probably already know at least something about Down syndrome, or have at least heard of it. Just to make sure we're all on the same page, I will give you just a little bit of information about it. There are three types of Down syndrome. Today we'll be talking about the most common type, which is called trisomy 21. We're supposed to have 23 pairs of chromosomes in our cells. However, with Down syndrome, there is a partial or full copy of the chromosome 21. So instead of two copies or one pair, there is one extra. So the tri in trisomy 21 comes from the number 3 for three copies of the chromosome. Down syndrome is considered to be the most common condition that is caused by abnormalities in the chromosomes. Before I get into today's discussion, I wanted to talk about a research study that looks at fine and gross motor skills in adolescents with Down syndrome. The study was published in June of 2016 in the International Journal of Science, Culture, and Sport. It was conducted by researchers at a university in Turkey. The study looked at a total of 34 male participants. 16 were adolescents with Down syndrome, and 18 were adolescents without Down syndrome. All of them were between the ages of 14 and 20 years old. The researchers assessed the participants using the test of Brunix-Ostrowski test of motor proficiency, second edition short form. The assessment evaluates fundamental motor functions or motor problems in children and adolescents. Some of the items on the assessment are things like drawing lines, folding paper, dropping and catching a ball, jumping in place, sit-ups, walking forward on a line, and other fine and gross motor coordination activities. The results did indicate that the adolescents with Down syndrome scored lower than the adolescents without Down syndrome on all of the items. The activities that were tested on this assessment are skills that will help you be able to do more of your daily living activities like self-care skills of getting dressed or bathing or eating, and also physical and sporting activities in the future. The researchers concluded that we need to consider interventions early on that work on these fine and gross motor coordination skills so that later as adolescents, they might be able to do more of these independent daily living activities and sporting activities when they're adolescents. Now, you can check the show notes today for the link to this full article and read more details about the study if you'd like. For today's discussion, as a pediatric occupational therapist, I work with children and their families in their homes for early intervention. I will often see babies who have Down syndrome pretty quickly after they are born and they come home from the hospital. It is not always critical that I see them first thing when they get home, but the referral to the early intervention program that I work for is usually made by the hospital around the time of discharge. I say it's not critical, but if there are medical or health concerns regarding feeding issues or similar things, then it would definitely be more critical to see them right away upon coming home. The reason that hospitals often make the referral for early intervention is because of the nature of the diagnosis. You can expect that the child will likely have developmental, motor, or other delays, so early intervention is often key for kids who have Down syndrome. The situation is different than other times when I see kids with developmental or other delays where the cause is unknown or due to something other than a genetic condition. Because Down syndrome is due to a genetic issue, you can have some expectations of what you might see or how the child might be affected by it. Nothing is completely black and white, but there are a lot of similarities with kids who have this diagnosis due to the genetic component of it. This can help with early intervention because we are already aware of what to watch for and what to start doing early on to try and help get their development moving ahead in the right direction. One common thing I see with babies who have Down syndrome, especially when they are still newborns and infants, is issues with feeding. If the newborn has trouble with feeding, It could be due to low muscle tone. It is very common for people with Down syndrome to have low muscle tone that can affect their whole body. This can include their mouth area for oral motor skills as well. Low tone, in basic terms, has to do with impaired signals from the brain to the nerves in the muscles of the body. It is often associated with decreased muscle strength as well, or general weakness. You might see them having a difficult time latching on, or staying latched on to a nipple or bottle for feeding, due to low tone with their mouth muscles. You might also see their tongue protruding or sticking out of their mouth, either during feedings or just in resting times. It can be tiring for the little ones to try to suck, swallow, and breathe for eating. They often fall asleep during the feeding before they're finished. It is hard work to make all of those tiny muscles in and around your mouth, head, and neck work when you have low tone. Some babies with Down syndrome sleep even more than typically developing newborns, and it can be especially difficult to wake them for night feedings, especially early on. They can benefit from additional sensory stimulation to help them wake up enough to eat. Some examples are turning on a dim light so they can open their eyes, rather than being blinded by a bright light so they'll want to keep their eyes closed, or just being in the dark. Stimulate their face by touching it with your hands, or stroking their cheek and their lips and trying to talk to them to keep them awake. You can change their diaper before feeding them, and this is stimulating in itself. Plus, you can let them feel the cool air with their clothes opened up, or possibly a cool wipe on their wet wipe, or a cool washcloth on their leg or their belly or their skin somewhere. It is very important to support any newborn's head when you're holding them and feeding them. And a baby with Down syndrome may need the extra head support a little longer than a baby without Down syndrome, again, due to the low tone in their head and neck areas. Another common thing that is seen in kids with Down syndrome is laxity in their joints. This just means that the tendons and ligaments in and around their joints might be loose. This is common to see in their hips and shoulders, but also in their neck area. And the low tone plays a part in that as well. So be sure to hold their head until they are able to safely hold it themselves without it flopping or falling backwards. If you have listened to any of my previous shows, you might already know what I'm going to say next. Something that is very important in development for not only babies with special needs, but for all babies. That is, of course, tummy time. This is one of the most important activities to do with babies. It is something that I know and preach. And hopefully, if you listen to me long enough, you will understand it as common sense and also very important. Any teachers out there listening, if you are in schools, you are likely not working with babies, but this doesn't make the concept any less important for you to know. Many of the kids you have in class may not have gotten enough tummy time or crawling time when they were going through those developmental milestones. Go back and listen to my tummy time episode if you missed it. This does affect the kids in your classroom, even in early childhood and elementary school, depending on the situation, maybe even longer than that. Think about this and consider making some of the sensory breaks in your classroom, maybe some type of crawling or animal walking activity. But anyway, back to the babies for now. For babies with low tone, tummy time, like all motor skills, can be difficult and tiring. Just trying to get them to lift their head up off the floor can be so hard with low tone in their neck muscles. Make it easier for them by placing them over a boppy pillow, or just on your chest while you're in a sitting or reclining type position. Again, watch their head and neck. Once they are able to lift their head up, it can be difficult to keep it from falling back too far. We need to protect their necks from injury, so watch out for that. But they need the tummy time in order to make everything stronger. This is the basis for pretty much everything else to come from a motor standpoint. Keep in mind that all of these gross motor skills early on might take longer than it would for babies or toddlers their age that don't have Down syndrome. But I would expect them to be able to continue to progress through to walking, assuming there are no other complications. Also, I mentioned joint laxity a few minutes ago. This can affect their hip joints, so make sure you watch this area in particular. Some kids with Down syndrome will have a hip dislocate from the joint where the leg bone comes out of the socket. You might see them limping or acting like their leg hurts when they're standing or walking. It doesn't always happen. It's not something that happens with every baby or toddler or child with Down syndrome. But if you have any concerns about this, your pediatrician might refer you to take them to an orthopedic doctor who can determine if they would benefit from an x-ray or some other testing to check the joint. Children with Down syndrome might struggle with fine motor skills, especially early on. You may see some delays in these skills compared to peers without Down syndrome. However, they have the potential to eventually catch up at some point. The low tone and joint laxity issue can also play a role in their fine motor skills. The thumb joint in particular might show more laxity than their fingers. Sometimes delays in cognitive skills might slow down the way they process information, which could also affect their fine motor skill coordination. Some kids will have slower reaction times with movements. As with many things in life, practice, practice, practice. Repetition of the motor movements can help them be successful with fine motor and gross motor activities. For teachers in classrooms, consider seating positions, making sure that they have a stable sitting position with their feet touching the floor or a foot rest underneath if they can't reach the floor. Make sure they can reach their desk with their arms resting easily on top. Some kids with Down syndrome will have sensory processing issues as well. They may have sensitivities to tactile information or things that touch their skin, face, hands, and feet, or the opposite, where they need extra stimulation in order to wake up their muscles to get going for fine and gross motor activities, or even eating skills and talking or speech and language. Hand strengthening activities like squeezing, poking, smashing, rolling, pulling objects like Play-Doh, or other tactile sensory toys like pop beads or pegs or large Lego blocks, squishy toys, hammering toys, or so many other options can help with hand strength. When starting out with puzzles, you may want to find the wooden ones that have larger knobs on each piece, so they will be easier to hold onto with their whole hand. You can gradually make it more difficult by getting smaller knobs or the larger chunky pieces that don't have knobs, but that sit in the wooden puzzle boards as they make progress through their puzzle skills and their fine motor skills. Also, shape sorters are excellent for fine motor and cognitive skills. They can match the shapes, plus work on holding the pieces correctly in their hands and turning them to fit right into the spaces. All of the usual early learning toys for any child are great for kids with Down syndrome as well. It might take them a little longer to master each one, but given the extra practice and time, they will likely also get it done. When the toddler is getting to the stage when they are starting to feed themselves and drink from a cup rather than nursing or taking a bottle, I would greatly, greatly, greatly encourage them to go through the messy playtime. This will help with any potential tactile sensory processing issues or needs, as well as being an experience that all toddlers should go through for exploration. They might benefit from additional or motor stimulation prior to meals as well. This could help with waking up their mouth muscles to help with chewing, lip closure, and tongue movement, all of which are important for swallowing food and liquids safely. I won't get into specifics on how to do that in the show, but send me an email if you want more information on that or anything else from today's show. My email address is Allison, Allison, at mymidwesttherapy.com. So finger feeding and learning to use a spoon and fork can be challenging due to low tone, slow coordination of hand-eye movements, and general fine motor coordination of picking up the food or holding the utensil and managing to get the food on it and then bringing it to their mouth. Now, I would skip the sippy cup for kids with Down syndrome, or really for all kids, but especially for kids with Down syndrome if they have a protruding tongue. The sippy can encourage them to continue sticking their tongue out while drinking, and they can throw their head back and tip it back far enough to guzzle the liquid. This is not a safe drinking position. Instead, teach them how to drink from a straw. You can use the Honey Bear cups or other cups with straws that have lip or mouth blockers on them. The mouth or lip blockers keep them from being able to push their tongue out farther along the straw, and it could help teach them to keep their tongue pulled back in while drinking in general. I will have some examples of these posted on my Amazon items on the website for today. And my website is mymidwesttherapy.com. By the way, I don't think I explained tongue protrusion earlier. This is a result of low tone. The low tone in their tongue keeps them from pulling their tongue back to keep it in their mouth. The tongue protruding or hanging out of their mouth in a forward position is a resting position. If your baby has this going on, I would definitely encourage using oral motor stimulation activities as early as you notice it happening. Talk to your child's occupational or speech therapist on how to do this if they haven't discussed it with you already. When it comes to eating baby foods and eventually table foods, we want them to have the practice of swallowing with their tongue inside their mouth first, if possible. So the earlier we can work the tongue muscle to get it active, the better chances of keeping it in a good position for eating, drinking, and talking. I wanted to give you guys a heads up that I can see a list of countries that are downloading my show. I don't have all the details, but in the United States, the top states as far as the number of downloads total are Texas, and then my home state of Kansas, and then right below Kansas, with only one less, is California. Also, there are some newer countries around the globe that are listening. India, Turkey, Ireland, Norway, Germany, and Australia, just to name a few. I don't know how you guys are finding me, but I'm really glad that you are. So keep spreading the word. And if you have a second, I would really love it if you would send me an email and just let me know how you found my show. And again, the email is allison@mymidwesttherapy.com. Thank you so much for listening.